I'm listening to the program today, I realize that I try to control everything that I cannot control, and I'm not very good at controlling the things that I am able to control. So your program is very helpful today. Thank you very much.
All right. That's the intention. Let's make this a helpful 30 minutes. Come on, controllers. Come on in and be honest about it. And those of you who maybe feel a little control, but control has been an issue in your life in one way or another. We are going to unpack this today, and we're going to get some freedom in these next 28 minutes. Some of you are going to experience, maybe for the very first time, a better understanding of what this thing is about control and what does it mean and how to manage it in your life. Or if you have someone in your life who likes to manage you and control you, how do you face that? And we're going to jump into that. My name is Dr. Randy Carlson. Jennifer is right over there on the other side of the glass running the controls, and Steven's taking the phone calls as our producer today as you call 888-888-1717. And if you have someone who, well, and yourself maybe you're just being honest, hey, I've been a controller in my life, and God's revealed some things to me and I'm making a change. You want to help somebody today who wrestles with this really important and serious topic, give us a call. 888-888-1717. I started with that caller from our storyline because she really summarizes it well. I think all of us, to some extent, struggle with knowing the line between what I do control and what I don't control in this life. You know, some of you remember Johnny Cash, right? And he wrote that song, I Walk the Line. And that, of course, was, I guess, a song of saying, hey, because you're mine, I walk the line, he says. And you think about it, as a Christian, we have to walk a line too. Because there's things that we do control and there's things that we don't control. And I've been around long enough, I've talked to many Christians who have said to me, oh, you know, I give it to God, it's in God's control, and I just don't worry about it anymore. And yet they still worry about it. Or they try to take it back, or they've shifted something they're responsible for out of their hands and give it to God when they're responsible for it. Come on. We're all in the same boat here. We're here because we love God. And we want to do the right thing in our families. Let me give you a verse from Proverbs, and then we're going to jump into this topic. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and then He will direct your path, and you should take it. And I circled the words in there that are in my control, things that I have to do. Trust. Don't depend on yourself. Seek God's will. These things, this is intentional living. We're talking about a living our life the way God intended. And that ain't going to happen unless you know what God's intention is. And this is a really sensitive moment, I think, in your life, in my life, when we have to say, God, I need some direction here. I got to take a path. I got to do something. I can't just sit here like a lump. I got to act. I got to move. And I'm seeking your will. I'm going to trust you, Lord, to give me direction. But then we have to act. Here's the single biggest question you need to ask when it comes to this control issue. And here it is. What am I responsible for in this situation? What am I responsible for in this situation? And I know some of you are thinking, now, wait a minute, I'm a parent. I'm supposed to be in control of my kids. Well, yeah, maybe in control, but what about being a controller? See, there's a difference. What is your responsibility when you see your kids? Let me give you just an example. Just came to mind. You've got a teenager going back to school here, and they're flunking. They're just failing in school. What's your responsibility? Well, I can't control their grades. You know, I can't do the homework for them. I suppose I can. Some parents do. That's a bad idea. But, you know, I can't control the outcome. But you know what? I can be responsible to hold them accountable or to get them help or do some things. But I'm not in control. You've got a spouse who's making decisions that are lousy. Question is, what are you responsible for? Boundaries, accountability, love, care. but you can't control them. And what happens is we here at Intentional Living talk about the circle of control. It's about 3 feet. That's about it. Just enough area to reach out and the words that I say and the things that I do. But beyond my circle of control is this other circle that really is more of care and influence. I care for you and I can influence you and I love you and I want the best for you, but I can't control you. So the question is, and we're open the phone lines here for you. How has control impacted your life? What have you learned? What's one thing that God has revealed to you? Maybe you have been a control kind of person. What have you learned? 888-888-1717. Last thing I asked walking out of the house this morning, my wife, Donna, she was in the kitchen, and I said, "Hey, Donna, I'm doing a show on control today." I said, "I'm certainly not a controller, am I?" She just laughed at me. She said, "You worry about everything, and you tell people, be careful, be careful." I am. I'm a worrywart. That's my thing, and I have to admit it. I think many times control comes out of a good place because there's a difference. Some of us are thinking, well, it's not control. It's just concern, right? I'm just concerned for you. And in the process, I try to control. Hello. Now, we know it can go all the way to the extremes of abuse. And man, listen, that ain't to be a part of our life. But my guess is many of us can relate to, you know, these areas of not knowing exactly where the line is between what I control and what I don't. How have you discovered that in your life? What have you learned? Give me a call. 888-888-1717. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Juliet's hanging on. We'll get to you in just a moment. She's going to tell us what she's learned about control.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We know about that we're to surrender to God, right? The Bible teaches that. We know about the sovereignty of God. As I just mentioned, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, which is restraint and then action. So God is not telling us that we're not to control, but He's telling us that we're to control ourselves. So from a theological perspective, understand that control is something that begins in our own life. Yeah, this is quite a topic. Listen, I did a whole lesson on this topic of the circles of control and the circle of influence and so on, areas that I have no control over. It's up on our website. I encourage you to listen to it. If you wrestle with this, it's there. It's available. It's free. It's part of our ministry. And it's all made possible, frankly, because of the financial support of people like yourself who stand with us and allow us to do this ministry every day with Intentional Living. So go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and we thank you for your support. What's your thought on control? What have you learned? You have a question for me? You're welcome to ask it at 888-888-1717.
Dr. Randy, this is Chris, and I had the most profound experience. By my own admission, I normally listen to the music on your station, but I caught you making a comment that hit so powerfully home to me, I have been shaken days later. In fact, it has so profoundly given me insight into a marriage of over 30 years, I'm pretty much shell-shocked. And that comment was, when your spouse is non-communicative and non-emotional, but that spouse is the most powerful in the relationship. So when I heard Dr. Randy say this, it unlocked this mysterious piece of, wait a minute, I can stop pounding myself against the wall. Maybe, just maybe, I'm not this controlling, demanding, on my knees, begging, crying, screaming, writing letters. I have done everything conceivable in my power to get him to open up. never once understanding until Dr. Randy shared that that's because he has all the power when he is withdrawn. I never saw that as a powerful position. I saw myself as the controlling one.
Yeah, interesting insight. Listen, I was thinking as you were hearing that comment, do you know we learn how to control when we're kids? Think about it. It doesn't take very many months into life until your little precious little daughter or son looks you in the eye and thinking to themselves in their deep 6-month-old thought, I can control this big thing. You, right? And they do it with attention-getting behavior. They do it through power. They do it through throwing fits. And they start to learn this powerful behavior on how they can control other people. And we can take that into adulthood. We all know controllers in our life. And I will say this, controllers, I think, have limited ultimate success in life. They can have success in many ways that maybe we measure like financial and other things. But when it comes to relationships and so on, being a controller is not something that's going to add a lot of value to your life, for sure. All right. You're welcome to join in. Let's go to the back to the calls here. Let me see. Marcia.
Juliet.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Juliet, you've been waiting. I appreciate it. Thank you for your patience. What have you learned about all this?
I've learned that I was controlling in my household over my kids and trying to control my husband out of fear. Mm. And the fear was that things wouldn't go right, or just out of, you know, complete fear. And I've learned to surrender to God that He is the ultimate protector, and He has everything planned out, that, you know, I don't need to get in the way and try to control everything. And in doing so, I stifled, you know, my husband, and that's disrespectful, you know, to do. And I've been surrendering over and, you know, doing things differently, not my own way, but it's been really nice. And I think that I was doing it out of fear for so many years.
Mm, interesting. Fear is one of those emotions that we get hijacked, and it can cause us to do things like control, because we feel like maybe I can deal with the fear by controlling, and it only makes things worse in the long run, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's another thing to surrender over to the Lord and just trust in Him. So
yeah.
Thank God for day by day, step by step, just constantly turning over and surrendering to the Lord.
You know, thank you for your calls, and thank you for being a part of this topic on controllers today. You can call 888-888-1717. How do you know if you have a controlling personality? What are some of the signs, symptoms, indications that there's a control issue? One of the things is criticism. We know that's at the top of the list of what that destroys relationships. The research is very clear. Critical people are just not nice. They're not liked. They're not received and loved and appreciated, and certainly not welcome in these intimate relationships like marriage. Persons that are quick to criticize, nitpick, find fault, partners that do that, they really create a problem for themselves and for the marriage. That's a symptom of being a controller. Possessiveness, some having to do with jealousy, maybe someone who likes to control out of jealousy. They don't feel cherished, and so in turn, they feel possessive. They control. Another sign of a controller is the need for constant reassurance. Controlling individuals frequently need reassurance by the people in their life. And they can do this in many different ways. Asking for it, demanding it, being moody for it, being hurt when they don't get it, or any number of things. So constant reassurance is a sign of control. Of course, manipulation, a personality may employ emotional manipulation, and that can happen through a lot of different ways, you know, gaslighting, guilt tripping, and putting people in an emotional manipulative spot and so on. And so these are some of the symptoms and signs of people who can be controlling. Now, I can tell you this, from the work that we've done, the research is clear that the healthiest people on the planet, and certainly for Christians, those of us who are followers of Christ, a healthy Christian life, a healthy walk with God, and a healthy family understands the balance in this thing of control. We got to be careful as believers not to put everything in God's lap when we don't know what to do, when we should find out and really find out from God what we need to do and then act on it. Okay? On the other extreme is that we feel responsible for everything. You know, if it rains out today, it's my responsibility, right? And so understanding the, and having the discernment of these two are very important. I come back to that illustration in Scripture of the father of the prodigal son. Two boys, one dad. One dad or one son was very compliant, was there, was a part of the family. The other was rebellious, had his own mind, had his own heart, had his own ideas. Obviously contrary to what was good for him and certainly what his dad would approve of. And yet when the son said, hey, I'm an adult, I'm out of here, I'm going to go do my own thing, the dad understood that he didn't have control over his son. He was responsible for his reaction to his son's really stupidity. He gave him what he said he deserved, and he opened the door and let him go. But you know what? I bet you he went on to know that his responsibility as the dad was to pray for that boy every day and keep the window shades open every day to be available, but not to chase him. And I think that's an example. That's a powerful example of this circle of control. That daddy of that prodigal knew exactly how to be an in control, self-control, right? That's what the Bible says. In fact, in Galatians 5, we're told that self-control is on the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And self-control as opposed to other control. Control versus being a controller. And there's a difference. And knowing that line, understanding that dynamic can be a powerful thing in life. 888-888-1717. We get some questions that come up from time to time. I think we have Kathy that has a question for me. Go right ahead.
Hello. My question for you today about taking care of aging parents is, if you've had a very controlling parent, but you know that the time is coming soon that they need to be taken care of more, how do you balance that with, you know, it's just kind of a hard balance of showing love but also being firm? So that's my question. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Kathy. That's a great question. What do you do when you have, again, we just talked about control and responsibility, and what you see is like a deer in a headlight. You see responsibility right around the corner. You haven't been responsible to this point, but you understand it's coming. Maybe it's going to be a fall that breaks a hip. Maybe it's going to be a diagnosis of a medical challenge. Maybe it's going to be a financial reversal. But you know, like, hey, responsibility is coming at some point here and pretty soon. And I think that that ups the ante, as it were, in terms of your responsibility to sit down with your parents and say, Mom and Dad, listen, I love you and I want to be available to help you through the years coming up, but you gotta let me in. You gotta allow me to be a part of this. And I can only do what you allow me to do, but I'll tell you what, it's gonna be easier now to allow me to be a part of it than to wait until the day you can't do something, and then I have no idea what you expect, what you want, what you desire, and I've taken control and you've had no input. Now, for a controller, they're gonna wake up to that. They're gonna say, well, wait a minute, I'd like to be in control of some of what's going to happen to me in the future. So let's sit down and talk about it. Let's talk about our money, and let's talk about housing, health. Let's make sure we got our paperwork in place and all of these kind of things. But ultimately, if Mom and Dad just push back and say, no way, then you're going to have to kind of lay in the weeds and pray for them and wait for that moment and make your own plans, because ultimately they are in control, right, until they're not. One of the documents we all sign in our estate plans is a power of attorney when we can no longer make good decisions, right? And so someone that we love can step in and do that for us. All right, let's do this. Let's take another quick break, and we're going to be back. We're talking about control. Don't go away. This is Intentional Living.
Nobody likes being out of control, but no one can control everything. And the circle of things we can control is actually pretty small.
How we deal with this circle of controlling ourselves is going to impact everything else in our life. I believe that 95% of our success in life, spiritually, relationally, in our marriages and our family, is in this circle.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Circles of Control, he talks about the issue of control and how we can live a better life by having the right perspective on what we control. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Hey, your support is making a huge difference to people around the world. It really is. People you may never know this side of heaven. We're seeing people make a decision for Christ. We're seeing families stepping up and saying, we're going to make this family work. We're getting intentional before God. We want to experience our life the way God intended. And we're seeing families and individuals thrive, and a lot of it has to do because of your support. You want to do something important? Join the mission. Be a part of this challenge. Give us a call during the business hours on the West Coast, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go on over to theintentionallife.com. David, how are you?
I'm overworked and underpaid, but I'm doing okay.
Okay.
This is an extremely important subject to my wife and I. We both had one parent in each of our lives that was extremely controlling to the point where micromanaging doesn't begin to describe what I grew up in. In my case, we were on a farm. The dream was for my father to farm 1,000 acres. It didn't matter what we had to do to get there. And it resulted in, when I left home, I couldn't wait to get away from home. But when I left home when I was a teenager, I went to work in construction and other trades. And I began to get told by other workers on crews and people I was dealing with that I was extremely controlling. And at first I rejected that. For several years I rejected it. Then I got married, and I married a woman at that time that had gone through the same thing. And it seemed like attracted like, and we didn't even realize till later, wow, we grew up in the same kind of environment. And I was telling Steve when he took my call, my friends were all guys. My male friends were all guys that had grown up in the same situation. And we realized, you know, we got a problem. I mean, I was involved very much in church. I was an evangelist for a while, pastor and missionary, and a controlling pastor is not a good mix for planting a new work in anywhere, and it's actually not a good mix anywhere. God sent me dads. I say I had a father at home, but he wasn't a dad. But God sent me dads through the years, and I realized the one thing that really helped my wife and I heal, she had the same experience. She left home, went to college, started teaching, and she encountered elderly teachers that took her in hand and led her ever closer to Christ, and we began to get attracted to really solid Bible-based preachers. It was amazing. When I met her 15 years ago, we both lost our previous spouses, and we've just been married 15 years. We both had gone through this process where God had led us into a circle of friends who were honest with us but not hurtful. So when my best friend, who passed away last summer, would say, hey, you're sounding like my uncle, because he was raised by his uncle after his father was killed in Korea. And I would tell him when he got out of line, I'd say, you sound like my father. And we began to use that as a kind of a code word when we're out in public somewhere where we're with church groups or whatever. and we were heavily involved in single groups, and I was amazed at how many people that we met that had been divorced. At one time, I was pastoring a singles group. I had 189 singles in that group, and there was a good three-quarters of them had grown up in the same situation, mm-hmm. had destroyed their marriages, and they were trying to put things back together. And I realized we would have never healed, my wife and I, and I say healed because it's not the right word, because we're still healing. We're in our 60s, and we're still learning to watch ourselves. But God really blessed me, because she will go, even when we've had one of those, what we used to call when I was a kid, a knockdown, drag out fight, we'll retreat to our corners, and God will start speaking to both of us. And sometimes we're apologizing to each other at the same time. There is no way to heal from that without him being involved. And then when I say he sent dads, I had businessmen that just kind of adopted me when I was learning how to operate as a contractor in construction. And they were elderly men. They were gifted, talented craftsmen. And I gravitated to them because I wanted to learn. But God used them to teach me how to have patience, how to stop being so critical, how to... I have a friend now, Bill. He says, your problem is sometimes, David, is that you think everybody should think the same way you are. And he says, not everybody even thinks.
That's true. Hey, I got to run, David. The theme's closing me out. The computer's saying enough time, but I wanted to hear that story because David just shared with you some really good insight. Get around you some people who can tell you the truth. If you got a control issue in your life or in your family, who is it that can tell you the truth? You're too controlling. You got to deal with this. Someone who cares for you, loves you. David had several men that did that, made a difference in his life. Who is it for you? I tell you what, we're going to stay here in the studio. We just want to continue to roll forward on this topic. And if you want to join in the discussion, give me a call at 888-888-1717. And we're going to go ahead and record that show that'll air tomorrow during this same half hour on Intentional Living. So you've been a controller, you got a story, what has God taught you, you got a question for me, join us at 888-888-1717. Thank you, members, for your prayers. Thank you for your support. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, the Ministry of Intentional Life Media.